Will you please turn with me in your Bible to the book of Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We've been looking in the Word of God at the way in which the Lord has helped us to understand the great victory that we have in Jesus Christ because of His victory. And so our series that we're looking at is Christ the Victor. He is the victor. He's the champion over all things. And His victory is applied to us through the Holy Spirit putting us in union with Christ. So as Christ has victory, we have victory. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That's a great thing. But in real life, as we walk that out, sometimes our experience does not feel exactly like our status actually is. So what does it look like to understand the way that Christ is a victor and that we can walk in His victory when we have to embrace it by faith and it doesn't always feel that way? It's interesting how life doesn't always feel that way. Kind of like being a parent, I love my kids. I don't always love my kids. I love my kids. The status does not change the feeling. The feeling changes. The status does not change. And so as we are walking through life, it's important that we are understanding what the Word of God says and where our experiences and our feelings differ. We come back to the Word as our anchor to say this is the truth of what the Lord has done so that we can stand on Him. We're going to read together from Philippians. Let's read in chapter 4, and we're going to start right at Philippians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 1. Therefore, now the therefore, so real quick, sorry, is Paul has been telling them about standing firm in doctrine, about loving Christ and their great service that they have had toward Paul himself, and how he's thankful for them, and he is reminding them of all the greatness of Jesus. So he says, chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord for His word. Today we're going to talk about how Christ is the victor over anxiety. He is the victor over anxiety. So to illustrate this a little bit, I have a video for us, a music video, if you will, which I love music videos, and so we're going to watch it together. So Roy, would you mind playing that for us, please?
She's outside.
Take that, anxiety.
Even though with her anxiety, she really wants to hide, but she's out. She's going to the store.
Oh, hi, Kim.
That's her neighbor coming up to talk to her before she goes. Summer camps. Yeah, so apparently the sign up was filled up a year ago. And if you didn't sign up then you really don't stand a chance. Oh, great. The lead time is 15 months in advance. And it's a conversation that's causing a vibration. And she can tell that she's shaking, but she's smiling and she's faking. And so she sings this song. She sings it all day long. When she needs to convince herself to simply hang on. It's fine. Yeah, everything's fine. Today is going great. There's no need to hyperventilate. Fine. Yeah, everything's fine. And now she gets to go to the store. She wants to just get in and out, but she lives in the South, where everyone is friendly and they like to use their mouth. There's a man in the parking lot who knows her from the gym. It looks like he wants her to walk into the store with him. And even though he's harmless, she tells him she's got to go. She doesn't want to talk about the chances it will snow. Uh-oh, snow or sleet, which one? She checks her app. How will she get to the basketball game? Cause she's in charge of snacks. And if she gets them cupcakes, will the moms get really brash? Cause you're sending them all home with a nasty sugar crash. And is she feeding her kids right? sushi he's eating. He thinks it's healthy. What about mercury poisoning? It's fine. Everything's fine. Today is the best. There's no weight on her chest. It is fine. Everything's fine. But she forgot to go to the store. She only had to go to the store. And now her son's team will get chips or whatever they are selling in here. Combos and Red Mountain Dew. The moms are gonna judge her so bad. That's anxiety for my wife.
So thank you for watching my anxiety theme song that my husband wrote for me, because it's fine. Everything's fine. And just as long as you keep saying it's fine, everything's fine, then it's fine, right? Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it, right? Just keep saying it's fine. It's fine. You're dying a little inside, but it's fine.
You definitely say it's fine, like, more often than the normal person, but like,
it's fine.
But that's okay.
Yeah, you're just panicking. And also, in conversation, I learned that people can bring snacks and not be stressed out about it. It stresses me out to bring snack, to be in charge of like school snacks or basketball snacks is that normal? People don't get stressed out about bringing snacks, apparently.
I've been guilty of worrying about it, but never once has there been a single parent who has cared one single bit about what their kid is actually eating for snacks in our circle of friends,
I know,
which
but
is nice.
But I tend to stress about things that maybe other people don't stress about. And all I can say is I'm jealous of people who don't worry like this. Anyway, it's fine. Everything is fine. It's fine. You're fine. It's fine.
Check out our merch. Check out.
I don't know. These folks have a website thing. I found their funny video there. I'm not endorsing them. I don't know what their other content is like, just to be clear. But funny song, right? Yeah. It's interesting how your mind can go down a path. My favorite part of that song is when the wife is thinking about the mercury poisoning and the snacks and all the things, and then she starts thinking on the way home about family health history and all this stuff. Like, it compounds in our minds, doesn't it? So we know the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 that we're supposed to rejoice in the Lord. Again, Paul says, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. You know, the context of this verse is really important, because at the beginning of the context of chapter 4, as Paul is talking, he doesn't just out of nowhere say, hey, let your reasonableness be known, don't have any anxiety. He doesn't say that. He also doesn't say, don't worry ever about anything. So this idea of like just the fates will have and it doesn't matter kind of thing was very prevalent in the culture, as it is in our culture. Like, fate has a plan and you don't know, and so you can't control it and it doesn't matter. So just eat, drink, tomorrow we die. That's prevalent in our culture. It was in Paul's time too. He doesn't say that. Instead, he says, as you're being reasonable, that you should take your anxiety to the Lord and don't be anxious about anything, but do what? Pray. Come to him and pray and give your requests to him and your supplications. And then he's going to respond with something. What will he respond with? Peace. And that peace will even surpass our understanding. See, the thing is that we often want to know the answer and the reason and the why and the end result, and we think that will give us peace. But what the Bible is telling us is that it's not the answer that gives us peace. It's not even knowing the future that gives us peace. What gives us peace is the Lord in his presence. Right at the end of chapter 5, verse 5, before he says, don't be anxious, he says, the Lord is at hand. The context is that Christ is with you, the King of glory. And as you give him your requests and say, Lord, I'm anxious about all this stuff, snacks, family history, red number 5, I don't know. Then you give it to him because he's at hand. And he is the one whose presence gives you peace. And so really, what does it look like to not have anxiety? It looks like trusting Jesus because, ready? He is with you. Now, if you get anxious about something, that doesn't mean that you are sinning necessarily. We all get anxious about things. We all have fear moments about stuff that comes up. The fear is not the sin. But if you dwell on it and you're like, Lord, you got to give me the answer or I'm not going to be able to know what's going to happen. I need this on my timeline. I have to know. I have to do it. See, that's the problem. Instead of you, Lord, you are with me. I trust you. I know that you're leading me. See the difference? And what's the context of this verse from chapter 1 or from verse 1 in chapter 4? Is two ladies in the church who are having such a fight that an apostle from a different city in prison in Rome needs to report to them to have this fixed and sending people to try to solve the problem. That's bigger than somebody took my dish. That's bigger than she said something that I don't know. It's affecting the unity of the church. And these are important ladies in the church. And so it's enough that Paul is writing. And then in that context, he says, let your reasonableness be known. Don't have anxiety about these giant things. Have you ever said something that you didn't mean to say? I saw while I was looking for a fun song or something to talk, it's anxiety, so you can go real, like, heavy real fast. And instead, I found a really funny light song for a reason. While I was looking for that song, I found some comedians who wrote another song that was not a super great one to play in church. And the whole song, it's not terrible, it just is a little weird. It's not like immoral or anything, let me be clear. Anyway, the song itself is, the main point is that these two girls, these sisters, are at a party and they meet this guy and she goes to shake the guy's hand and accidentally grabs his thumb in like mid-shake and then it's really awkward. And then she says, it's nice to meet you, and then leaves. And then she goes, now I'm going to think about that every day of my life. And then she meets the person again in a 7-Eleven years later and says, you might not remember me. I was at this party. He has no recollection. And she goes, oh, that's funny. I've thought about it every day. And then trips and falls in front of him. And she's like, my life is over. And so, like, it's a pretty funny song. You can check it out. But my point is, isn't it funny how things like those last in our minds? And they get refreshed, and you're like, remember that one time when you were 20 and you were at a party and you shook somebody's hand wrong? You're so weird. And then it becomes this anxiety, doesn't it? That's a weird thing. This situation is much bigger than that, because these ladies have such a conflict that's happening that it's disrupting the church. And in that context, Paul is saying, don't be anxious. Come to the Lord of glory who is at hand. He is already with you, so that your reasonableness might be shown. How can he say those things? And it's really funny when we have this funny song and we think about things like the snacks and bringing the snacks, and it's not really that big of a deal. But what happens when it is a big deal? What happens if you're one of those two ladies and you're in this big conflict, and it's not just that you shook somebody's hand wrong 20 years ago? It's that there's real things that are really big that are weighing on you. Well, really, there's kind of two kinds of anxiety, aren't there? The first kind of anxiety is about judgment. If I bring the wrong kind of snacks, I'm going to get judged. There's going to be another mom or another dad or somebody who's going to be like, how dare you feed my child this red number 5? What are you feeding at home? And then suddenly we have this judgy kind of feeling. The second kind of anxiety is uncertainty. Uncertainty is worse. Uncertainty is harder. When my kids were little, we bought Eleonora when she was a baby. She's like a million now. How old she is? 14. When she was a baby, we bought her a Goodnight Elmo, Sleepy Time Elmo. Do you remember the Elmo craze? Remember the Tickle Me Elmo? It was like the Christmas present of 1998. Like, all flew off the shelves. Well, we bought Nora a Sleepy Time Elmo, and this particular Elmo had pajamas on and stuff, and when you hugged him, he would go, Elmo, so sleepy, you know, and he's like, oh, he's really cute, and then he kind of sings a little song, and then you go to sleep. And so one night, Lisa and I are watching a show or something, hanging out in the living room, and through the baby monitor, I start to hear this weird sound, And I hear this funny, like, I'm so sleepy. And I was like, what is that? And then I heard, I'm so sleepy. And I was like, what is happening? And so I go to the room and I open the door. Elmo is not in the crib. Elmo is sitting on the middle of the floor and says to me, Elmo's so sleepy. And I was like, whoa, no, no, no. The batteries were dying. She threw that thing out and it was in the middle of the floor. I thought it was possessed. I thought we're going to have, I'm like, call the elders, call everyone. We need oil. We need something in this room right now. Like, I'm looking around. Now, all night, I took the batteries out, didn't say anything else, praise God. The batteries were dying, which is why I went to that weird low voice. But I was not okay. So all night, like, you know, air conditioner comes on, you know, I'm in the room looking for Elmo. Demon, I will get you out. Just uncertainty. I slept zero sleep, like 3 days. Uncertainty. What if it's big? What if, you know, it's funny because my mind starts to go too. The reason I didn't sleep for 3 days is, what if there is a demon in there? What if somebody broke in? What if some guy got in through her window somehow, was like hiding in the closet? What would that, and now your mind is full in anxiety because you want to protect your kids, right? And so this is what happens to us. Whether it's uncertainty of I don't know, or this fear of judgment. Is it going to be okay? What's going on? And here's Paul, who just pretty quickly says, hey, don't have anxiety. Lord's at hand. Just pray. Well, that's great, Paul. Thank you. But there might be a demon in my kid's room. So what do you want me to do with that? And what does Paul say? He says, come by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's hard to do when you're anxious, isn't it? You know, when you become thankful, it changes your outlook. It's an interesting thing. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The core of who you are, your heart and your mind, where all this stuff is being manufactured, will be guarded by his peace that comes through his presence. Well, we're talking about this series of Christ being the victor. Jesus Christ has secured victory over anxiety, because at the end of the day, anxiety is really fear. It's really fear that gets kind of, it's a dull fear that sort of remains. So how did Christ deal with fear for us? Well, the Bible tells us that we were objects of wrath, that were due punishment because of our sin. And that puts us as fallen people into a state of perpetual fear. But 1 John tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. And the context of that verse, I know you've heard that before, the context of that verse is that perfect love in Christ has cast out all fear of judgment, so that when you stand before him, you can be confident knowing that because of his death and resurrection, he took your punishment, and you don't have to fear judgment that's going to come on you, because Christ suffered and died for you. And now in love, he has taken you with himself, and he says, you belong to me. And here's the stamp that we need in our minds, is that when we're afraid of what other people will think if I buy the wrong kind of snacks, I need to remember that Christ died for me and put this seal on me by the Holy Spirit, that I belong to Jesus. And the judge of the universe has said, I am his. And because of that, I don't need to fear the judgment anymore. Now, does it make us anxious when we might buy the wrong thing? I'm telling you, it's Mother's Day. Getting the wrong present. You stand there and you're like, I don't know. And then you go, we all have those feelings, don't we? It's human to have all the feelings. But the result of that judgment side of anxiety is to say, I know my judge, his name is Jesus, and he has called me to be his own. And so I'm going to walk in faith with him. And then if other people say other things, or it wasn't good enough or whatever, we'll deal with that, because my identity is in Christ Jesus. How do you think that these two ladies can come? Paul is even sending some pretty big heavy hitter people. Like, could you imagine just one, you know, somebody we work with. We've talked before about, like, Mike just got back from Pakistan, right? And our leader guy in Pakistan, his name's Khalid. If Khalid comes to town just to help two ladies in the church that are having a problem, that would be pretty wild, wouldn't it? He's like, hey, I'm Khalid. I'm running like 18 churches. Don't worry about it. We're going to do this. Okay, praise the Lord. It's a big deal. How do you think that gets resolved? The conflict that these people are having. It doesn't tell us what it is. It doesn't tell us any details about who said what or what happened. But the context is the Lord is at hand. So in the gospel, knowing Christ, knowing his peace, knowing his gospel, knowing who he is, all of our other things can be put aside because we look together to Christ. And his love is bigger than any of the things that's going on. Also, I want to be like him. And so I'm going to quickly ask for forgiveness. I'm going to quickly come to repentance. I'm going to quickly make amends because my love for him means that I also love my brother and sister well. And so there's no magic thing that's happening. As we focus on the Lord, especially as we come to him with thanksgiving to bring our prayers and supplication, it starts to change everything because we're looking to Jesus who's with us and not letting the problem continue to compound until it's even bigger than we thought it was going to be. The funny thing is we saw it in the video here. It wasn't just the initial thought. Do you remember when in the little song that we saw, the lady met her gym friend who wanted to walk into Target with her? And what did she do? Turned around and got in the car. I thought that was hilarious. She's like, come out. So she hasn't even gone to the store yet. But now she's in the store, and he was going to talk about the weather. She didn't even talk to him. But she assumes it's going to be about the weather. And now she's checking the weather, and she's nervous about the weather. And that makes her nervous about whether or not she's going to get to basketball. Oh, yeah, the snacks, which is why she needs to go to the store. And it's a cycle of bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, the gospel is good in that the Lord is simple. We come to him. He's the Lord. It changes everything. And so all the big things that we compound in our mind of the judgment that other people might have for us or the big thoughts of things that might happen, or if I get the wrong snacks, well, if I come to Jesus and if they come to Jesus, he will sort it out for us. It changes our perspective, doesn't it? And then we can be thankful instead as we come to him, and his peace will cover our heart. So the Lord helps us when we're afraid of judgment. But what about this uncertainty thing? This uncertainty thing is sometimes a big deal. People get really, really concerned about it. I do. All of us do. What will happen? It's the nighttime Elmo that makes us more concerned than anything. Will you turn with me, please, to John chapter 18? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 18. Let's look at Jesus' example. You know, Jesus experienced all of our emotions, tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. Jesus felt despair. Jesus felt the uncertainty of things that were coming ahead of him. Though he knew what was going to take place and where he would go, he had to walk in a way in which he trusted the Father. There's uncertainty in that. And in John chapter 18, Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's just had, the Last Supper with the disciples. And in the garden, he goes to pray. And while he's in the garden, he is asking the Lord. He says, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. The cup that he's asking to pass from him is the cup of the wrath that he will suffer on the cross. As he becomes sin in our behalf, as he takes all the punishment that we deserve. And so he knows this is going to happen. Now, exactly how that's going to go out, though he's the Lord, he's trusting the Father. And so he prays, and the Lord answers him and says, you're going to have to take this cup. And so Jesus has to trust the Father. And then something happens. Let's read together John 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he and the disciples went out across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, and he and his disciples entered it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with the disciples. Verse 3, so Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief of the priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, whom do you seek? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. He said to them, I am he. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, I am he, they withdrew back and fell to the ground. Why did they fall to the ground? It's the power of God. Because in Hebrew, when you say, I am he, it's the name of God. He's saying the name of God. I am he. And they bow before him. How incredible. They withdrew back and fell to the ground. Verse 7. So he asked them again, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go. This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken. Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one. Then Simon Peter, having drawn a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Man, what a scene. You know, this is the middle of the night. This is when the Elmo is talking to you hour. It's the middle of the night. Jesus is praying. The disciples are falling asleep. We hear from the other accounts in the other Gospels. Then the soldiers come. Judas famously comes to kiss Jesus, which was the sign of betrayal. We have this exchange of Jesus talking to the guards. And then Peter, in his zeal for the Lord to protect Jesus, takes a weapon. Everybody's got weapons. Because it said specifically, lanterns, torches, and weapons is what they brought to arrest Jesus. And Peter reaches out, and in reaching out with his weapon, he tries to defend Jesus by cutting off a guy's ear. Now, we've said this before, I know, but it would be super hard to cut off somebody's ear. It would be. That's a very small target. Peter's not aiming for an ear. He's trying to cut this guy's head off. And he misses and only cuts off his ear. And then Jesus does something unexpected. Jesus reaches out also, but he doesn't reach out with violence. He reaches out with authority to heal. And he heals the servant and puts the ear back on. And then suddenly everything's calm. The God of the universe, who has just disclosed his name, heals the servant of the ones who are going to put him to death. You see, even in the worst moments, when Peter, in all his anxiety, comes to a head and he reaches out to try to kill somebody, even when Jesus, knowing what's going to come before him, is trusting the Father, and in the uncertainty of the moment, knows that he's going to have to take the wrath that God has prepared for us. Even in those moments, Jesus reaches out to restore what is broken. How can we know in uncertainty that Christ the victor will help us, is in charge, he's leading us good places, we know we can trust him? How do we know? Because Jesus has proven by his character that he reaches out and restores what is broken. He is the great judge. He is the great king. He is the redeemer. And so whether we're having a fight with other people in the church, which needs to be resolved, whether we are hearing the Elmo doll talk in the middle of the night, whether the snacks and the judgment of other people is crowding our mind, whether the uncertainty of the years ahead is throwing us into all kind of thoughts and fits and we don't know what's up, we know him. And we come to Jesus who is with us. And we say, Lord, you are at hand. I know your character. I know you. And so as I pray and I give you my anxiety and I say, Lord, this is my supplication. With thanksgiving, I trust you. I thank you that you're in charge of all things. I thank you that you're my Savior. I thank you that you're the victor. And so I give you everything I have, Lord, and it's crushing me and I don't know what to do and I feel all the things. But Lord, if you're with me, then I will trust you. And the peace of God, not the answers, which is what we want. We want the answers. Instead, he gives us his peace of his presence. And we have to trust his character that he restores what is broken. You know, when Nora was first a baby and my first baby was born, Lisa did an amazing job. And on your phone sometimes your Mother's Day memories come up. Also, yesterday was Eden's birthday. And so Mother's Day is a weekend for me. Boy, I'll tell you what. Anyway, it was Eden's birthday. So one of the memories came up, and it was a Mother's Day in 2016. Was the day before, it was Lisa's birthday, which was on Thursday, and then Eden was born in the Mother's Day. So my memories came up, and it's all a conglomeration of all these things. And one of them came up, and it had little tiny Nora, and little tiny Ben, and little tiny Jonah, and Eden was about to be born, our fourth. And I'm looking at the pictures, and I can't remember them this small. Like, it's, you know, time goes so fast. And in the moment of all of this stuff happening, we're remembering a Mother's Day. The Lord is good and helps us. And it's really funny. I had this memory come up, and as it comes up, I'm looking at these little kids, and I'm remembering when Eleonora was first born, and we just had little guys. And it suddenly occurred to me, many of you have met my Aunt Sally, who comes to church sometimes. Sally's wonderful. Sally has cerebral palsy, so she is she's handicapped. She's about the mental capacity of maybe a 6 or an 8-year-old, although she'll tell you she wants to help you with your math homework, so, you know, that's a thing. And she's lovely. She's great. When she was a baby, she choked horribly in the nursery and was unattended by nurses, and when they used to keep all the babies in the little nursery thing, and it gave her brain damage. It's one of the ways that she became so handicapped. And so when Nora was first born and all my little kids, I remember this nagging thought that surely they will also have the same fate, that it's just one choke away. And so just like that Tickle Me Elmo thing, or that Sleepy Time Elmo, especially when Nora was little and Benny was little and Jonah was little, I couldn't have capacity for 4 and 5. But the other three, when they were little, I'm just joking, when they were little tiny, every creak, every cough, every movement, every little cry, I was immediately there, because if they choke, they're going to become handicapped. And so I had to rest with the Lord that he's good. He takes broken things and restores them. Even in the midst of the most anxious moment, Jesus said to Peter in Luke, it's recorded. So in John, we read this account. In Luke's account, Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Don't you think I could have called down 10,000 angels?" And then heals the guy. All of the heavens are watching God himself, the second person of the Trinity, the Savior of mankind, be arrested by evil people. All of heaven is witnessing as Judas betrays him with a kiss. Don't you think that the captain of the angels was ready to kill everybody? And Jesus says, "Hold at bay." And instead restores what was broken. If that's our King, then when our kids choke, can't he help them? And in the uncertainty of all the things and the judgment of what's happening and the time, because we want it on our time. And Lord, I thought you were going to do this a year ago. I thought you were going to do this yesterday. I thought it would be by now. Why is it taking so long? Where are you? And he says, "I'm with you. I'm at hand. I'm with you." And it's hard. It's hard. So what do you do to realize Christ the victor, who has authority over anxiety? You come to him with prayer in thanksgiving. Start with thanksgiving and say, "Lord, I know you are with me. You are at hand. Because you're at hand, I thank you." And instead of rushing to him with the problems, you can bring the problems to him. Do bring the problems to him. But start first with thanksgiving. You heard me. You're here. You've saved me. I see you. You're seated on the throne. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the resurrection. I thank you that you're in charge. I thank you that you're speaking to the situation. Suddenly you become prophetic. Lord, you are moving. I know you're moving. I see you moving. I see it. I have hope in it. I know because you're with me and you don't stop. Lord, you restore what's broken. Lord, I trust you. I see you. And suddenly you're praying a different prayer. And the anxiety has to flee from you because that fear can't creep into your heart when the faith of seeing him changes you. And it's hard. And it's hard. And it's crazy because it's going to be 2 a.m. It's not going to be right now. It's not right this minute when you're like, yes, I trust Jesus. Those thoughts aren't going to, they're like, ah, I'll come back later. But at 2 a.m, they're going to wake you up and be like, hey, did you think about this Elmo doll? Did you think about how you shook somebody's hand weird 20 years ago? Thinking about that? I'm thinking about that. What are you thinking about? And suddenly you're in this weird place. What do you do? Lord, I thank you. I thank you you're with me. I thank you you never leave me or forsake me. I thank you you're on the throne. I thank you you're leading me. I thank you that you're the judge of the earth. I thank you that you have pulled me into communion with yourself, that I would know you. I thank you that you see my family. I thank you that you overwhelm the world with your goodness. I thank you that you will not be stopped or thwarted. I thank you, Lord, that you are good. And that's where you start. And then you say, Lord, I'm thinking about that time I shook that guy's hand. It's so weird. I don't know. Help me. It's bothering me. I don't know what to do. I'm giving it to you. Will you let your peace surround me? And this changes us. So then we're characterized not by knowing the future, but by walking in his peace. That's how we're characterized. We're not magicians and sorcerers. We're faithful servants. That's important. Because the world will tell you if you don't get the magic, you shouldn't follow God. But the Bible will tell you, follow him because he is the Lord. Amen to that? Amen. So today, when the anxious thought comes, give it to the Lord. Start with thanksgiving. Lord, I trust you. Let his peace resound through you so that you say, Lord, I don't understand. This is the big thing about the peace. Are you ready? It surpasses our understanding. That's weird. That is weird, because when the peace comes, you're going to know it's him because you're like, I still see the anxiety. I can still feel it kind of over there, but I just know his peace. And everybody will go, you're crazy. Haven't you thought about all these things? Yeah, I have. Trust me, at 2 a.m. But I know he's with me. That's the peace, and that's him leading us. Not getting to know, but getting to serve and walk with him. Amen? Will you stand? I'm going to pray for us. 12:03, guys. It's a miracle. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us. Lord, for every heart right now who is reaching to you. Lord, even earlier this morning as we heard Jeff's prayer, Lord, thank you that you see us. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you restore us. Lord, for every person who's here who feels like they are just distant, who's beat down by the anxiety, Lord, thank you that you're the victor. Lord, I pray for every person here who is overwhelmed with feelings of judgment. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to the Father except through you. And so, Lord, we trust your resurrection. We trust your crucifixion. We trust you, Jesus, that you are our salvation. Lord, help us when we feel judged by other people or the possibility of judgment, that instead we see you. Lord, in the uncertainty of life, even when it's big and it's life and death and it's huge, Lord, we know that you're in charge. We know that you are with us. Lord, I ask you that you would help each person, Lord, with thanksgiving as we bring our requests to you. Lord, according to your word, let your peace settle in our hearts. guard our hearts and guard our minds in Christ Jesus, so that we would walk by your peace, we would feel you, we would know you. Lord, take away those feelings of anxiety. We come against them in the name of Jesus. And instead, Lord, we look to you, author and perfecter of our faith, that you, O Jesus, are the one who's leading us. And so, Lord, I pray that each person here would feel your hand upon them, would know that you are leading them. Lord, that they would hear your word, and Father, that peace would dwell in their hearts in Christ Jesus, our King. Thank you, Lord, that by your word, by your will, and by your power, you will surely accomplish these things. We trust you in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you and keep you. He is with you.